You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. If you've ever been to the Detroit Institute of Arts, chances are very good you've seen the famed Diego Rivera murals. They capture a city that was once a hub of American industry with behemoth steel machines and men on assembly lines. These days, Detroit is trying to become a different kind of hub, a tech hub. And with its past as an automotive powerhouse, some are betting the Motor City can become a rival to that giant of tech, Silicon Valley. Here to discuss whether Detroit can do that is Billy Strotter, who's founder of the digital marketing firm Milo. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Good to have you here. And it's a pleasure to welcome Dr. Jerry Davis, Associate Dean for Business and Impact at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. Hello, Jerry. It's so good to have you here.
Hey, Cynthia. Great to be back.
So we're going to start with just the obvious, that it's kind of hard to think of two places that look more different right now than Detroit and Silicon Valley. Billy, does Detroit have a real chance to become a tech hub like Silicon Valley?
You know, I think Detroit is really interesting. It's the land of opportunity, as it always has been. We have a strong base of brain power from engineers to designers. And while Detroit is unique in what we're able to do, I believe that Silicon Valley is also unique in that there's an opportunity for us to create partnerships between those two communities to do some really wonderful things. We end up talking a lot about whether Detroit is the next Silicon Valley or is Detroit the next Brooklyn. But I always believe that what has made Detroit wonderful is the fact that we have always had grit and perseverance. And so as we sort of shift into technology, I think we're uniquely positioned to do that.
And certainly, you know, Jerry, we think of Silicon Valley's identity built around the tech industry. Here in Detroit, we've got that Rust Belt, working class, we make stuff kind of image. How hard will it be for a Detroit, a Rust Belt industrial city with this history, to pivot to this new economy?
So it's not going to be as difficult as many people think. We're not going to turn into another Silicon Valley with a whole lot of web-based firms because they've still got the venture capital. But to a surprising degree, Detroit really is a high-tech economy already. The Brookings Institution analyzed labor data from 2013, found that Detroit was the fourth largest density of employment in advanced industry. So Detroit is already a high-tech economy. We just don't realize it. If you're driving a car that's less than 20 years old, you probably already realize that it's basically a rolling computer. I don't want to cast any schadenfreude at the West Coast, but Tesla's discovering that making cars is not nearly as trivial as they thought.
That's
something that we are already good at, and that's a sector that's going to continue to grow.
Billy, build on that for us. What are the differences that you see between the taxiing culture in Detroit versus the West Coast?
You know, I've not spent a lot of time on the West Coast, but what I can say is that I look at Detroit as sort of the land of opportunity. You know, when you read the issues with what's going on out in Silicon Valley with the increasing, you know, household prices, Detroit, with the foundation that we've set in talking about the car companies and their shift in the technology, I truly believe that Detroit is a land of opportunity, and we'd love to see some of the people from Silicon Valley to take a look at us and come out and see what they can do.
Are we seeing this yet, Detroit drawing people away from Silicon Valley?
We're seeing this in small amounts. I would not say that we've seen an exodus of 200,000 people. But Billy's right about the cost of living in Silicon Valley is unreal. So the median house price in Palo Alto, California is more than $3 million. In Detroit, $40,000. And so $100,000 a year in Detroit, you're living large and you have a great lifestyle. $100,000 a year in Palo Alto and you've got six roommates.
So those are some of the advantages. How about Detroit's biggest hurdles? What do you see?
The education system within the city of Detroit is not quite what it should be. So that's a bit of an issue. The ability to recruit people in the immediate neighborhood, that certainly counts for something. The weather is not lovely, I'd have to say.
thinking of mid-January or mid-February.
Yeah, but most of the day you're indoors anyway.
And
so,
actually, about the education comment, might that be expanded to the fact that Michigan is at the bottom as a state of so many parameters and measurements? Do we have a problem statewide as well as just just the city of Detroit in education?
Well, if you want a tech hub, the thing is we've got a number of fantastic universities. The problem is that in the past, people might graduate from my university, move to Chicago, San Francisco, or New York. Now a lot more of them are willing to give Detroit a try.
Do you guys think that this transition to a tech economy, will it create jobs and opportunities for the working class people that were the heart of Detroit's manufacturing past? Or will this be an economy centered on white-collar occupations?
That is a pretty tricky question because for a lot of these jobs, the cover charge is knowing at least a little bit of coding. The good news is that there are a lot of entities that you can go to get a little bit of training in tech before you start a job in the tech sector. So you don't need a four-year degree to be able to code. You can go to a coding camp at something like Grand Circus, but it's not going to be like the Rouge plant employing 100,000 people.
Any thoughts on that, Billy Strotter?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this idea of everyone learn to code, while that is certainly important as we move forward in the future, you know, when a server breaks down or the people who are simply needing to get back and forth to work, who's going to repair their car, there's still going to be a need for people across multiple talent levels. And so I think while it's certainly important and we do have the talent here, there's still going to be need for people who just do the day-to-day work.
What lessons do you think we can take from Silicon Valley, from the West Coast, about how and how not to become a center of technology? I'll toss that one at you first, Jerry.
Yeah, so I'd say if you look at the history of Detroit, it was a technology center through most of the 20th century. It was an innovation hub, just like the Bay Area was. It ended up being dominated by three or four very large companies. And the problem with that is that your fate rises and falls with those very big companies and their industry. What's interesting about Silicon Valley is that companies come and go there. It's more like an industrial district. So Hewlett-Packard can evaporate tomorrow, and I don't think we're going to notice. Sun Microsystems disappeared, and Facebook moved into their corporate campus. Companies come and go, but Silicon Valley kind of lives on because it can reinvent itself, because it's not too dependent on a handful of companies. I'd say that's going to be the secret sauce for Detroit, is you really want to be able to prepare for the future by taking a lot of little bets, and then some of them will pay off, others won't, but you can remain adaptable over time.
What did you think as you watched the scramble to win that Amazon second headquarters bid?
So Rip Rapson from the Kresge Foundation said something I thought was really wise, which was, it's a really good thing to compete, to get all those different parties together in the for-profit, nonprofit, the government sector, but it's also a good thing not to win, because there's a big cost to having a very large-scale corporate headquarters in town. If the community becomes too reliant on one large-scale company like an Amazon or a General Motors, that puts you at the whim of what the market does. And so it was a good thing to get all those parties to the table, but it's also good, arguably, that we didn't end up with that because of the tax abatements that they would get and just the heft that they would have.
Billy Strotter, any final thought?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that when you were talking about the pros and cons in the Amazon bid is this idea of the lack of regional transit. And I believe that plays a large role when you look at the number of people who leave Macomb County to go to work. There's something like 213,000 people and over 200,000 in Oakland. And we really need a system that works together. And while, you know, we certainly have the cost of living over Silicon Valley, we don't have a regional transit system that works together to help lure some of that talent and even retain and keep some of our talent from going to cities like Chicago or New York City.
Agreed entirely. That is a critical priority, is getting a regional mass transit system in place.
Well, we're giving you all a preview of Jerry Davis and Billy Strotter, who will be on a panel talking about the myths and realities of Detroit's tech future. It's tomorrow, Wednesday evening, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Lawrence Technical University's Detroit Center for Design and Technology, part of the university's DCDT Talk Series this summer. Jerry Davis, Associate Dean for Business and Impact at the U of M Ross School of Business, and Billy Strotter, founder of the digital marketing firm Milo. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia.